Father, we give you thanks, for Christmas Eve has arrived. And Lord, depending on our age, we've been thinking about this a long time. Lord, most assuredly, for the last month or so. And Lord, Christmas Eve brings so many things into our lives. Anticipation, excitement, Lord, yes, even some anxiety. But Father, as we stand here on the eve of the celebration of your birth, Lord, I ask that you would calm our minds and calm our hearts. Lord, that all the work could be done and that we could begin to settle into the rest of you. For you truly are the reason for the season. Father, we thank you so much for the sentimental things of Christmas that mean so much to us. We thank you for our friends and our family. Father, more than that, we thank you for the sacred. Father, I pray for each and every one here this morning. I pray for those that are with us by Facebook, those that are with us by the webcast. Father, those that will hear this message by our podcast, wherever in the world that it will find them. Father, I pray that they would just sit still for just a moment. And Lord, that we can focus our mind's attention and our heart's affection on you. Father, bless these, your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, here we are. It's Christmas Eve. Oh, the excitement. I love Christmas. I think I love Christmas Eve more than Christmas Day. I don't know why, because Christmas Day, it's kind of, we're kind of, you know, done, you know. Christmas Eve, we're still looking forward. As I was thinking about Christmas Eve on a Sunday, now, will next year Christmas Eve be on Monday? Is that the way it works? Yes? Okay, don't be so relaxed that you're not listening to me, all right? So we get that rare Christmas Eve on Sunday. So I was thinking, you know, Jimmy, what do you teach on Christmas Eve? Because you want to give a Christmas message, and I got to thinking about it. And I really try to hold to that old adage of just keeping things simple. And I begin to think about a birthday. And you saw just a moment ago why I think about birthdays. And I thought to myself, you know what? Birthdays, the arrival of children, have a lot of similarities, don't they? And I begin to think about there's a lot of similarities, but for this birthday celebration that we stand on the eve of, it's similar, but it's not the same. And so if you'll give me just a couple of minutes, I'd like to draw a parallel between our lives and the lives of those some 2,000 years ago and help us to see how very common we are, but how very uncommon this birthday celebration is. So if you'll join with me, I thought about that birthdays, the arrival of children, follow a very fundamental process. Now, ladies, you're going to go, this is a dude. Look at this list, because it's just basic. It's bullet points here, right? Because that's the way most of us guys are. Right, guys? Right. All right. So, ladies, I am not downplaying the process. I'm just saying we men process different. You ladies are full buy-in from the moment, you know. We men begin to buy in. And then when you lay that child in our hands, now we're in. Because it's all theory up until then, right? So forgive me for being overly simplistic. But I try to teach to myself, and I'm a very simple person. So I likened it to five simple steps. So if you want to tweet this will be easy. Five steps, right? There's the information, the proclamation, the preparation, the celebration, and then the participation. Merry Christmas, Chris. So let's look how this works. Well, first of all, there's the information. This little sign changes everything. Isn't it true? Now, I remember when my bride got into the car, she had been feeling poorly and had gone to the doctor, and she gets into the car and she goes, I called in sick, I'm not going to work today. Oh, okay. And she hands me that. And I look at this, and ladies, you're smarter than me, right? And I look at this and I go, what does this mean? Now, every man in this room knows what this means. Our minds know, but our hearts. And she goes, well, we're going to have a baby. And you know what I said? Are you sure? You see, last February, shortly after we totaled our car on our anniversary trip, we received a gift like this from that little girl of ours. And inside it, it was funny because when I see the box, I'm thinking to myself, what's up? Because our kids don't give us anniversary gifts. Now, my bride, she just sees a gift. As a dad, I'm like, what? Yeah. We open it up, and then the first thing you see is this. Gentlemen, when you see that, your world has changed. And then, I didn't even think about it. Well, that's too small for her now. And that's too small. Well, I had to save that one for the next one, maybe. But that may fit. But when you see a box like this, when that information comes across your computer screen, everything changes. Not only does everything change, but everything changes forever. Amen? So we see the information, and then there's the proclamation. How do we tell people? Now, this is the most amazing thing I have seen the evolution of, is the proclamation of the gender reveal. Oh my goodness. How hard do we work on this? Now, I've got to tell you, one of the coolest I've seen lately was this guy had a race car, and somehow he had put something underneath the tire, so when he spun the tires, the smoke came out pink to announce the girl. Now, our kids used a pinata, and you broke the pinata, and it came out, and it was pink. But it's amazing the process by which we proclaim, A, that we're pregnant, and B, and if you're not on Facebook, Ronnie, you may have missed that Jacob and Emma are expecting in July. Yes. They decided to go all the way to Colorado to announce that. And then you have the preparation. Once you have the information and once you've made the proclamation, now you have the preparation. And you start getting stuff together. And this is our baby shower. Well, their baby shower. And you get all the stuff together and you start holding up. And it's so funny because the ladies will hold stuff up and they're like, oh. And we guys are a little, you know, you're like, okay. You know, I mean, like I said, ladies, now I'm not saying all men. But we men are kind of like crock pots in this situation here a little bit. But now we have the preparation. We start getting the nursery together. And we start getting the stuff together and all those things. And then once the preparation is about ready, then you have the celebration. That moment when that anticipated bundle of joy arrives. And the truth is you don't ever really know for sure when they're going to arrive. We believed up until she was born, that she was going to be 2 weeks early at least. The doctor said 2 weeks early, and we thought, well, for sure. And she was not only not early, she was actually a little late. And my daughter was going, get this out of me. And I said, baby, there's a lesson to be learned here. That little kid's already starting to control your life. But you have the celebration, and you'll come from far and wide, and you'll stay up late, and you'll eat bad food and all these things. We didn't get to see little Mia until about 3 in the morning. But we weren't going anywhere because we wanted to be a part of that celebration. And then once the celebration is there, now the question is how do we participate in this? Now, I've got to tell you, being the grandfather in this process is easier. It costs less, but it's more difficult. Because as you're going through this process as grandfather, I realize I'm at least 4th on the decision-making process. I'm used to being at least number 2, but now I'm number 4. But how do we participate in this life as parents? How do we do this as grandparents? How do we participate in this? And what's so amazing is when you look at the Christmas story, it's so similar to the same process we have today. So if you'll come with me back some 2,000 years, we'll look at the Christmas story today. First of all, what was the information? Well, the prophet Isaiah, some 700 years early. Now, what's amazing today is we have the ability to know that someone is pregnant like really fast, from what I'm told. Like really fast, right? Well, how would you like to know 700 plus years in advance? That's a little heads up, right? If you can't get the nursery ready in 700 years, it's just not going to be ready. But the prophet Isaiah, through the Spirit of the Lord, tells us, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, just for a side note, Isaiah prophesied that the mother of Jesus would be a virgin. And I just want you to know, there's a great debate in our world today, and there's even a debate inside the church, unfortunately, of whether that is an important point. Well, my friends, it's absolutely important. Because if Jesus was not born of a virgin, then he was born of a man. And if he's born of a man, then he's a sinner like you and I. He was born of a virgin so that no man can claim heirship of the Son of God. My friends, if Mary was not a virgin, as Scripture says, then we have no hope of salvation because Jesus was not born sinless. It's very important. And it should not be up for discussion. It really should not. But there you go. That's your theology for today. That's a little gift in your Christmas stocking. That's not under the tree, right? And so 700 years earlier, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Now, isn't that one of the greatest debates when you're going to have a baby? What do we name that thing? Because names matter, don't they? Little baby Mia Elizabeth, you know who her middle name she's named after? My bride. I don't know why they didn't want to use Frederick. I figured that'd work, right? But anyway, but we see the name. Not only will son be born, but he'll be born to a virgin, and this will be what they call him. Micah tells us where. Now, we can plan where, right? But sometimes babies don't let you get there for the where. I was reading an article just the other day. Another little baby was born in the backseat of a police car on the way. You know, we make plans, right? But kids change everything. We can make plans, but kids change everything. Micah tells us this, but you, O Bethlehem, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, for you shall come forth for me one who from you. Excuse me, from you shall come forth one, for me, one who is to be a ruler in Israel, who is coming forth is from the old, from the ancients of days. Not only when, not only what the name would be, but thirdly, where they would be born. Now that's very important. I can't tell you what I'm going to be thinking 7 minutes from now. But God, through His Holy Spirit and through His authors, told us 700 years or so in advance where and when and how Jesus would arrive. So we see the information. God has given us the information. Now let's look at the preparation. In Luke, Dr. Luke tells us this. Now in the sixth month, angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid." You know, it's amazing to me is even when we would encounter an angelic host, we could be fearful. He says this to Mary, he says this also to Joseph, and he says this to us, "Don't be afraid, for you have found favor with God." What kind of favor? Well, we would have to think that she was a righteous person. God says that we should be a vessel worthy of honor and use. She was a righteous vessel. And in just a moment, not only was she a righteous vessel, she was a willing vessel. "For you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son." You realize this was the first time the gender of a baby was ever pronounced? Now, we have a young family in our church. They've got two little kiddos, one of both models, and they're expecting their third one, and they've decided they're going to go old school and not determine the sex of the child. That's pretty safe, right? They probably have stuff for both of them. But how old school is that for us today, that we would wait? Well, here Mary knew. It says, "You will bear a son, and you will name him" what? "Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be since I'm a virgin?" This is not the process by which this usually occurs. That's a fair question, isn't it? How can this be? For I'm a virgin. And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. For nothing will be impossible with God." Now, how does this occur? I can't explain it. Did God take the pre-existing egg of Mary and transform it into sinlessness? Did God create a new egg that was... I Googled it and I couldn't find it. This is what I know, is that God said that Jesus is not the Son of Man, but the Son of God. And that by the power of the Holy Spirit, nothing, let's say that word together, nothing is impossible. Now, can I understand it? I'm not completely sure how a light switch works. Right? I mean, how many of us really know, right? You go and you turn, this is what you know. If it doesn't work, then you know something. Right? I'm still not sure how electricity stays in that switch all the time, yet the light's not always on. I don't know how microwaves work. You put it in and your face does not melt. I like that. I don't know. But this is what I know. Just like I live by faith every time I turn a light switch on, just like I live by faith every time I watch popcorn in the microwave, I live by faith the fact that with God, nothing is impossible. And Jesus is the sinless Son of God. "May it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed her. You see, not only was Mary a usable vessel, but she was a willing vessel. You know, sometimes God is more interested in our availability than our qualifications. So many times, and you know what? I'm one of them. We say, "Lord, I can't do this. Someone else would be better about this. Lord, I'm not sure I could do this. Lord, I don't want to fail." And God says, "If you'll just trust me, I will put in you what I need out of you." And Mary says, "Let it be as God said." Now, what I didn't mention here was an angel had to visit Joseph, the stepfather of Jesus too, because he was a little freaked out by the process. Ladies, I just want you to know the fact that we become fathers freaks us out because we have to pay for those little kiddos and we have to be responsible. I think I'm a little more freaked out about being a grandfather than a father because now, you know, she's going to look at me and I'm going to have a different relationship with her and I'm not supposed to discipline her. But I'm going to tell you what, that kid's got a grin already. I think there's trouble coming. But the angel of the Lord speaks to Mary, the mother of God, and speaks to Joseph and says, "Don't be afraid. Because what I purpose, I will accomplish." And so we see the preparation. Now we go to the proclamation. God gave us the information starting 700 years in advance. He gave us the preparation. Here, we're going to get all things in order. We're going to let you know, listen, you're going to be okay. I want you to know, if you ever find yourself expecting a child and you're a little scared about it, that's okay. You should be a little scared. Because respect sometimes produces fear. It's like getting married. Got a young couple right back there looking at marriage. Are you scared yet? And thank you, by the way, for answering the memo of red and black plaid this morning. Joe Beth, you too. Thank you. Scott, thank you. The rest of you didn't read the email. You a little scared? Yeah? Is he a little scared? Yeah. He should be. Responsibility brings a little bit of that. But what we see is now we see the proclamation, Luke 2. "And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." Sometimes you make the best plans, but the plans don't always work out as you plan them. And we see that the Son of God is laid to rest in the most humble of circumstances, that the Most High is laid in the most low. Imagine today if we went to a barn on your property and took your child and laid them in that manger where that horse or that cow's been all up in there. No. But Jesus arrives in the most humble of circumstances. In the same region, there was some shepherds staying out in the field and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified and frightened. It's okay. But the angel said to him, let's see now, what did the angel say to Mary? Don't be afraid. What did the angel say to Joseph? Don't be afraid. What did the angel say to these shepherds who are just out tending their flock? And next thing you know, boom! Flash mob choir, boom! Angelic host, boom! Never seen this before. And they're scared. It's human nature to be afraid of what we do not understand. It's human nature, and it's okay. But the angel of the Lord says this, don't be afraid. And as we stand here on this Christmas Eve and we look around our world and we look inside the world that is our own lives, we might be a little bit afraid. But God says, don't be afraid. Not because you and I've got this, but because He's got us. Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring to you good news. Good news of great joy, which will be for all people. See, the beautiful thing about Jesus is not everyone recognizes Him for who He is. Not everyone respects Him for who He is. But Jesus' arrival, His life, death, burial, and resurrection is for everyone who will receive it. For today in the city of David, there is born for you a Savior who is whom? Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. Don't be afraid. I bring good news, and here's how you can fact check me. This is back before Facebook. We need to make sure we fact check, right? The angels go, listen, believe us. Don't be afraid, but here's how you can fact check. This will be a sign to you, and you will find a baby wrapped in clothes lying in a manger, very specific. And suddenly there appeared with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased. What an incredible proclamation. Nowadays, we just shout it out on Facebook when those little ones arrive. My little girl says she wanted to be the first one to announce baby Mia's arrival, right? And I said, well, how long is it going to take you? Because, you know, Paw wants to say something. Right? So we were on communication, proclamation, lockdown. And I'm just like, you know, you go on Facebook and everybody's like, well, and you're like, Because when something good comes into our lives, we want to proclaim it. And so we see the proclamation. Now let's look at the celebration. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying one to another, let's go straight to Bethlehem. Let's go check this thing out. Let's go see this thing. Let's go experience this thing. Is this true? Let's go straight to Bethlehem. And seeing the thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and to the baby who was what? Lying in the manger. Just as God's messenger says. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. You know, one of the things about the Christmas story that we really kind of take for granted is I've never been a mother. I've been a father and now a grandfather. And I tell you, I openly admit this, I'm not man enough to be a woman. Because just the beautiful transformation You know, like I said, my daughter would still owe me if I had to birth her. I mean, she would still have a debt to pay to me 27 years later. And here's little Mia, 7 weeks old, and my little girl says, you know, I think I'm ready to have another one. And I'm like, are you out of your mind? I was there with you for that 24 hours of woo! But there's something about it. And Mary, yes, she was a righteous vessel. Yes, she was a willing vessel. But Mary was a young lady who didn't have all the answers. She was trusting the Lord. And she's taking all this in and she's just pondering these things in her heart. What a beautiful statement that is. The shepherds went back doing what? Glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and all that they had heard, because it was what? Just as it had been told to them. You see, if we can't trust God's word, then we can't trust God. And if we can't trust God, my friends, let's just not try to fake it till we make it, right? My friend, you can trust God. You can trust His word both today, tomorrow, and for eternity, because 2,000 years ago it was accurate, just as it's accurate today. And if the Lord tarries His return, it'll be accurate another 2,000 years from now. How do I have confidence on this Christmas Eve? Because God's word is trustworthy. And so these shepherds went back to work, and man, what a calamity they must have been making. Boy, don't you love to talk about exciting things? And now the question we have to ask is this, so how do we participate in this? As parents, how do we participate? As grandparents, how do we participate? As a church, how do we participate? As we stand on the Christmas Eve of 2017, how do we participate? Well, Matthew 2 tells us this. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." You see, they saw the signs of the Savior. And the Bible tells us that even creation itself testifies that there is a God. But even that is not enough. But you know what? What are some of the signs we can look for today? I've really appreciated the fact that more people are committed to being Christ in Christmas instead of trying to convince everyone to keep Christ in Christmas. You are Christ in Christmas. You are Christ in Christmas. They saw the signs and they followed. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child and Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You see, the true meaning of Christmas is in part what you receive. It is nice to receive gifts. Everyone enjoys that. Most especially the ones that are unexpected. But the greater is what you give. The old adage, it's what? Better to give than receive. You see, Christmas is about receiving. The world received its king. Mary received her son. The shepherds received their promise. Christmas is, quite honestly, more about the giving than the receiving. Because the greatest gift we will ever receive is the opportunity to give ourselves away. You see, Christmas is about the coming of the King, but it's equally about us presenting ourselves as a gift to the King. You see, whether we put up a Christmas tree or we don't, whether we believe in colored lights or we don't, all those things are beautifully sentimental and absolutely acceptable for the holiday. But the true meaning of Christmas is are we giving ourselves to the King? We are the gift. Not just one day, not just one season, but every day for every season. You see, we can carry Christmas in our heart every day if we so choose. The Bible tells us that because Jesus was given to us through a sinless birth and through a sinless life and through an atoning death and a glorious resurrection, that you and I and all of the world can have peace, not only on earth, but for eternity with God through faith. That's if we choose to receive His gift to us. But even more greater than that is that we would choose to give ourselves a gift to Him. If you're here today and you've never received Christ as your Savior, today could be your birthday. Not your physical birthday. I've had 52 of those. But your spiritual birthday. The Bible teaches us that for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. You see, there's a payday someday for our sins, but because of the gift of God through faith in Jesus Christ, that debt payment can be paid. You must be born again, the Scripture says. How does that work? By faith. Oh, I love to have a discussion about faith and works because a lot of great minds get a lot of great discussions over that. But I'm a simple guy, and I always love to go back to the cross because the Bible tells us, and the Bible is trustworthy, right? Amen. The Bible tells us that on a hill far away stood three rugged crosses, two thieves and a Savior. One of them railed and screamed against culture and against those who bore him judgment and said to Jesus, "Jesus, if you really are, prove it. Save yourself and save me." But the other one simply stated, "Jesus, today, will you remember me?" He looked to his companion across the way and says, "Our sins we deserve, but this man knows no sin." So when we get in that discussion of how, for by grace through faith are you saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. Because Jesus said that day, just like he could say today, "Happy birthday." Jesus said to that man, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." Now, the question we have to ask ourselves is this, is what did that man ever do to deserve heaven? The Bible tells us he didn't come off the cross alive. So he didn't go make amends, and he didn't go apologize, and he didn't go give back everything he had stolen. He simply expressed faith in Jesus. And that's the gift today. God has given His Son to us some 2,000 years ago in a manger. And today He invites you to give yourself as a gift to Him by faith. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to give you this opportunity, this beautiful Christmas Eve. Would you receive the gift of Jesus? Would you receive God's one and only Son? Would you receive what the Bible says to be true and, Lord willing, what you've seen evidenced in other people's lives? Would you receive that gift today? And if you would be willing to receive that gift, then, my friend, in return, you must give a gift. Would you be willing to give yourself to Jesus? Simply saying, as Mary did, "Lord, let it be done." Now, we have to understand that giving ourselves to Jesus doesn't mean that every day is roses. Giving ourselves to Jesus doesn't mean that there won't be trials and tribulations and uncertainties and sometimes fear. But giving ourselves to Jesus does mean this, that we can have the peace that passes all understanding. Peace for today, peace for tomorrow, and peace for eternity. So my friend, today I would ask you, would you please receive God's gift of Jesus and in return give yourself a gift to Him? I would pray something simple like this. It's not the prayer that saves you, it's the faith that saves you, the Bible says. I'd pray, dear God, I admit that I need something more than I've been able to find. God, way back in the back of my heart, there's a place that's just empty. Lord, and nothing seems to fill it. And I'm believing today by faith that you are the answer to that question. Jesus, I admit that I know less about you than what I do know. Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner because sometimes I do wrong things by accident and sometimes I do wrong things by choice. But Jesus, today, on this Christmas Eve, I ask you to give me the faith to receive you as my Savior. Jesus, come into my life and give me the gift of salvation. Give me the gift of hope. Give me the gift of peace. Give me the gift of purpose. And Jesus, in return, I give you myself. Lord, help me to love you more today and every other day in my life. Lord, help me to know you better and to love you more. Jesus, help me to follow close to you. Thank you for your gift to me. And Lord, may my gift to you bring you joy. The Bible says that by faith, through faith, you're going to walk out of here different than you when you walked in. You're a child of the King. You have received the greatest gift ever. And I want to encourage you to share that with someone. For the rest of us who can claim Jesus as King, be calm and rejoice. For the King has come, and the King is coming. And perhaps you're here today and you're just not there yet. You're not ready to trust Jesus as your Savior. I can respect that. But I would ask this one thing. Would you please continue to seek Him? Would you ask the questions that you really would love to have answered? Would you put yourself in a position where you can learn more about Him and about the Bible so that you can make an educated decision? Would you do that? We'd be honored to be that place. And I would be honored to talk to you about any question, anywhere, anytime. Father, we love you today and we thank you that on this Christmas Eve for Jesus, the reason for the season. We thank you for all the wonderful trappings of the holidays. And Father, we pray for our family and friends who are in 100 different places today. We ask that you'd bless them. We ask that you'd give them a wonderful day and evening in you. And Lord, we ask that you'd bring them home to us safely. Father, we pray for our world that they might seek you while you might still be found. Father, bless each and every one who is here. Father, bless those that are with us in the multitude of ways that they can connect with us. For it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.